now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday. Hello, world. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream News Talk 790 KNST, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I can say this, I missed being here, and when I started to prepare for the show this morning, I was like, what? I haven't been on in September, so I don't know if you guys missed me, but I missed you. So here I am back. I would like to welcome our in-studio guest today, Philip Green, with an E. It's not Mrs. Green. It's G-R-E-E-N-E. He is the author of Running on Empty, which is a handbook for understanding and surviving the energy crisis. It's quite a compelling book because that's two pieces, understanding and surviving. That's two pieces. So do you want to say good morning?
Good afternoon. I'm really thrilled to be here with you.
I am happy that you're here too. So remember, we will take questions throughout the show, 520-880-5678. And I've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. So I'll do my New Jersey thing about talking fast. And I want to announce, first of all, that Chapman is the sponsor of this show. Thank you so much. We're doing a green team training with them. They're green teams from all the dealerships, and it's been a blast. And there'll be more about that at some point to tell you what kind of exciting things we're talking about. I think my friend Colleen is calling in for her four-minute segment, and if not, she's going to be on double secret probation. She's going to be in a lot of trouble. I can tell you that right now. Okay, so I want to talk to you about Tohono O'odham Park. I had lunch there the other day. Ever since I have been Mrs. Green, I really have revisited it. I did a focus group out there, and my husband and I, it's become one of our favorite places to go. It's for children of all ages. That's all I can tell you. It's great. And they are going to have their fall plant sale, and it's one of the busiest times of year for them. And I love it. And they said to me, can you do some shout outs? We'd like to do some advertising with you. I'm thrilled. So there's a members preview October 6th, and it's really inexpensive to be a member. We renewed our membership, and members always get 10% off their purchases. So that's from 3 to 6 on October 6th. And then the public sale is Saturday, October 9th. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, October 10th from 10 to 4 p.m. And they're going to teach you things about if you have a townhouse or an apartment, how to grow a garden. If you want to plant in very small spaces, they're giving me names of stuff that I don't even know how to say, but Atascosa rock pixie, in the first series of these plants, you can find them, and they will never exceed a foot in size. They have some things from West Texas, and they're not really common or widespread in Arizona, but they're very water-resistant, and that's why they're doing it. There's ones that are so cute that produce blue flowers. So they're helpful out there. The staff that works there is great. The docents are great. So the pixie shapers, I love that, rock pixies. They're shapeshifters. They can look at two different plants at different times of the year. So really check it out. If you ever need to know anything I say on this radio show, all you have to do is info@mrsgreensworld.com, because I know I do pack a lot of information in here. So just always do that. But the Tohono O'odham Park, I'm telling you, as it gets cooler, it's a Tucson treasure, and we really need to support it. And I say that, but what you really need to do is get out and have some fun in nature. It's a beautiful treasure trove of lots of different things. And Phil, feel free to bump in. He's given it the thumbs up. And they've got a great restaurant for Sunday brunch. It's out of this world. Everybody talks about the Eggs Benedict. Fresh food, organic every chance they get, Wagyu beef. So that was way more of a shout out than I had to do for them. But I love this place, and I mean it. Okay. Next Saturday, Fresh the Movie is coming to Tucson, and it's a great movie. It's about, shockingly, food and fresh food and what farmers are doing and what's happening with farmers' markets and how the growth of all of it and how important it is. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys get my newsletter, but the more I read, the more I am committed to anything that involves fresh. So it's going to be next Saturday at the Loft at 11 a.m. So Mrs. Green will not be able to be in the house for that one. And it kind of bums me out. But you can be there and just listen to a podcast of my show. I don't ever want I don't want you to miss one of my shows. But Fresh the Movie, the wastewater management people are putting it on. They have been on my show. They're an unbelievable organization. And you really want to go out and support them. Again, if you want to know anything, check them out at Mrs. Green's World. Okay, another thing. This is pretty fun, guys. It was a very exciting night at the Murphy Darling home last night, Mrs. Green's house. I went over 1,000 fans on Facebook. I wish we could ring the bell, like really ring the bell. Oh, good, we can ring the bell. Like Jenny does that. I love that on the mountain. And it's a benchmark. That means there's 1,000 people. It's actually 1,010 this morning, and 500 of them are from Tucson. So I love that the reach is growing. So there are another 500 from outside of Tucson, and that's what I want to do to help spread the good green word. And I don't think I ever preach. I do make you laugh, but I also do make you aware. So if you're interested, it's Mrs. Green's World on Facebook, and it's really kind of fun, and I want to post things that you have to say. Okay, two more quick things. On Thursday, September 30th, join me for Moments of Wellness with Mrs. Green. It's a great birthday present. It's a great for girls or boys night out. More men are going to salons, and Vervey is an Aveda salon. I just want to qualify here. Mr. Green will not be going to the salon for a hand massage and a foot soak and all that. It's like this is just not his thing. Yeah. What about you, Philip?
No,
he's not getting a pedicure. Nope. So it'll be girls' night out for me. And their Sunflower Market is going to do food tasting. And another small wine distributor is going to be providing wine. And it's $30, but the $30 goes towards the purchase of your Aveda products. And I'd like to move the whole world in the direction of cleaner, safer, less chemical, plant-based, botanical-based. So just check it out. We're going to have a lot of fun. You can come meet Mrs. Green, bring a girlfriend. I'm giving it as a birthday present to a couple of girlfriends because it really will be fun, and we'll be spending quite a bit of time there. So you can check that out again at Mrs. Green's World. You do have to make a reservation at Vervey, and all that information is on there. And last but not least, I think we're looking good. We did this thing, Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge, on the website. And what's so wonderful to me is the response we've gotten from the business community. There are 16 businesses that have submitted to be voted on for having the greenest workplace. That says a lot. And they're everything from like Intuit and Golden Eagle Distributors, National Bank of Arizona, to one of my favorite places in the world, which is PopCycle, a little store on 4th Avenue, Nurturing Nature, one of my favorite finds. That's in the Williams Center, and it has the most beautiful repurposed gift items that I have seen ever. It doesn't look like a bunch of, you know, repurposed junk. Classy items, jewelry and bags and things for kids. It's really wonderful. So that's it. I talk the whole time. I can't believe it. It's so unlike me. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, in our studio, Philip Green, running on empty. Stay tuned. You'll want to hear what he has to say. We'll be right back.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And as always, check out MrsGreensWorld.com. If you have questions, once we start the conversation with Philip Green, 520-880-5678. Let's get on with the show. Philip, good afternoon. I keep saying good morning. The time flies when you're having fun.
Yes.
So let's get started. The name of your book is Running on Empty, a handbook for understanding and surviving the energy crisis. So could you give us a brief background on what you did that led you to this? There's a good foundation to get here.
Back in 2008, when the price of oil went out of sight, everybody stopped driving something like a billion miles in 1 year. I was curious as to what was the real problem was, and I started looking into it, and I found that there was such a amazing amount of varied information that made it very difficult to understand what was really going on.
There still is. Yeah. Like, I hope you can shed some light on it. It is a tough, it is a very, very, very complex situation. So go ahead.
Well, there are a number of things that impinge on our energy, including climate. And I'll just give a kind of brief rundown on what they are, and we can go into them in detail. First of all, we need to know and we understand what the sources, uses, and costs of our current energy is. And that's very important. And the cost is one of the things we need to keep in mind, because an alternative has to be as cheap as what we have now.
Exactly. Exactly. It has to be the same kilowatt hour as coal if we're going to be able to buy it in mass quantity.
We need to understand the different types of alternatives that are available and what their impacts can be, what they cost, what it takes to produce them, where they come from. We need to make a comparative analysis of all these sources. How much water do they use? That's very important, because water is one of our serious...
It's my top issue. It is my top issue. I have a guilt-free toilet. That's what I tell people. It makes me so happy.
Then we have climate change to take into account, and a lot of these different alternatives do affect our climate. And last of all, but not least, is sustainability. Our use of energy on this planet is not sustainable as it is now.
And the thing that I have said on the show before, it almost makes me laugh out loud if it didn't make me so sad at times, is if you just think about it without being a scientist, I mean, you have a background on understanding these things, which I think you should tell a little bit about the ability. I could not write the book you wrote, okay?
Well, first of all, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a climatologist. I'm an architect by training at it, but I've spent a lot of time building buildings that needed to be sustainable and energy conservative.
Right. Okay.
And I also did a lot of designs for facilities at SeaWorld. Anheuser Busch was the owner of SeaWorld. Actually, they're not now. But we had to design habitats for animals, and you have to take into account all the things that keep them alive.
And one of the things to me that is the most logical of concepts to get my head around is, there really is only one planet.
Absolutely.
A lot of things are not being replenished. They're not resupplying. Like I understand it. There's a lot of coal left. There's a lot of natural gas left. I understand those things. But we're putting such a stress on it. It's like you cannot get 40 people in a two-passenger car. And that is really, I think about things like that. So what's it like?
We can do that with a thing called trains.
What a concept. Like one from here to Phoenix, that would be a great idea. Okay. So let's take one at a time. We need to understand all this information and develop a rational energy policy. So where would you start?
Well, first of all, we need to stop emitting pollutants into our atmosphere. CO2 is the most prevalent one because of all the coal and oil and gas that we burn. But there are others. There are different things that affect the climate, but the CO2 is one of the most prevalent, and it can cause any number of things. CO2 is not dangerous. We breathe
right,
it out.
Right, right, right.
Plants absorb it to produce oxygen. But there is science that tells us now that too much can actually retard plant growth and reduce the nutrients in them.
Right, too much of a good thing.
It also warms the ocean, which CO2 in the ocean is an acid, and it will destroy the coral reefs where most of the fish are grown. And a lot of the world depends on fish for food. All the people that, you know, like 10% of the people in the world live on the ocean.
And Philip, if you are reading the things I'm reading, because I read all of the, and I mean, I'm talking from like Harvard Business Week to Smart Living with Green Ideas and Smart, all of these things. Fish is a huge issue. It's not just how much people like to eat it. It's how many people depend on it for their livelihood. I mean, I've been seeing some pretty ugly things this week from the Gulf, and it had nothing to do with the oil spill.
Yeah.
That's even scarier. I saw hundreds of thousands of fish with my own eyes, and it had nothing to do with the oil spill. So that's really another good example of what's going on. And they explained what it was. It's drainage from the farms.
Yeah.
That's a huge piece of it. So that's what you're talking about. It's the whole cycle.
Yes.
We're all connected.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. So CO2. Okay. I'll try to keep us on track, but I hear you. Fish, huge. And that makes it real for people who love to have fish and they're not going to have it.
I mean, we like it. It's part of a healthy diet.
Yes, part of a healthy diet.
Yeah.
And you always want to have that as a choice. Okay. And then, so looking at alternatives, reducing emissions, that's huge. Okay, now looking at alternatives, let's get into that a little bit. New technologies at home, because I am constantly immersed in this discussion of solar photovoltaics, solar thermal.
Those are the old
natural
ones.
Natural gas. Those are the old ones. Great. So what's the new? Show us what the future is.
Well, there are all kinds of things happening, of course. And
there are, and it's exciting.
I saw a guy, an inventor, who was looking for some way to, I don't know, make some kind of a medical device. And he found out that he could submit a plain old seawater to a radio wave, and it emitted hydrogen. We have lots of seawater.
We have lots of seawater.
I mean, this was really exciting to me.
What's happening? Do you know what's
I don't know. He's just a guy in his basement, you know.
Yes, that's how some of the best things ever happen.
Notes. Yeah, Thomas Friedman says that's going to be our solution: 1,000 guys in their garages. But maybe not.
I think they called that Apple a long time ago.
Yeah, Apple.
Apple was one that was in the garages.
And even
so was
MSN.
Microsoft. Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
So there's hope. I live with hope for those minds.
Another new development that I read about that actually Exxon is very interested in is genetically altered microbes. It's not algae, but it's some kind of a germ. And they can grow these things almost anywhere, in places where you can't grow corn, for instance, which is not really sustainable in terms of ethanol production.
Right.
But if Exxon is interested in that's the kind of scale that we really need to replace gasoline.
You're absolutely true. The corporate giants have to get on board. And as much as a lot of us would not like to see Exxon make billions more, if they're going to do it in a sustainable way, right on. I'll go buy their stock. It's okay. Let's do it. They're covering them up with some alternatives.
Actually, the algae is another one which people are beginning to research. And it's probably at least three times as effective and efficient as corn ethanol. It makes ethanol.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So I'm Mrs. John Q. Public, and I want to know, do you think that someday I'm going to put algae in my car and it's going to fuel my car? Seriously?
It'll be the ethanol.
It'll be the ethanol.
Not the algae.
Okay.
The algae has to be produced in great quantities.
And so there
and distributed just like gasoline.
Okay. Okay. So, but there's no downside to it in terms of off-gassing or whatever. To me, we have to impact the energy we use in buildings, because there's 35% of the energy use in our country is in buildings. Yeah. Then there's our homes, and then there's our cars.
Transportation is a biggie.
Oh, it is huge.
Particularly the over-the-road trucks. You know, the railroads claim they can move a ton of material 800 miles on a gallon of fuel. That's what we need to be doing.
And do you see it ever coming back to railroads? I mean, it's just one of the things that's so the big obstacle I see is the cost. Everything now is so cost prohibitive to build, billions of dollars, because we took up all the train tracks. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is true. And the real problem is that we can't really go back.
We have to move forward. And we're spending a lot of money on a lot of other things. And I think I agree with you that finding trains, they're like, and then I wonder about places like Tucson. I'm from back east. We got the train or the bus almost everywhere. If you wanted to go into New York City, you were nuts to drive in. So our whole family would get a bus. We would get, or we'd drive to a place closer in like Newark where we'd get a train in. But here, I go to the university, and then I'm going over to here, and then I'm going over to here, and it's such a spread out town.
Yes.
Thinking about using a bus, I will never use the bus the way it exists now. I could have two appointments a day. That's it, instead of five.
Yeah, Tucson is a kind of a special case. It's not really big enough to sustain a really serious light rail system or something like that.
Yeah. But something's got to be done. And I don't know, I mean, a bus route. I think one of the things that could be done much more effectively, and I'm starting to do this for social things, is carpooling.
Yes.
People don't even
yes.
understand. Like, if everybody,
sure.
if they had buses at Campbell and like Fort Lowell for the U of A games, you talk about, I mean, there's thousands of cars that go down for football and thousands of cars that go down for basketball.
Sure.
So now we're carpooling. You could have three couples in a car instead of three cars and two people in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's one way. Okay, so emissions from cars and energy and on and on and on. So when you say encourage making all machines more efficient, give me a couple of examples.
Refrigerators, washing machines, cars, industrial machines, anything that is in the manufacturing of...
What about trucks? Do you think there's a way to make more fuel-efficient trucks?
Yes, there is.
Okay, because I went to this Clean Cities meeting the other day, and there was a man there that made a presentation. It was called something called, like, I think it's called Avatar, but I probably made that up. It's Azure. And he was talking about the cars that they're making, that they're looking at for the Postal Service. Electric vehicles.
Now, trucks, over-the-road trucks
cannot use ethanol.
There's not enough energy density, as they call it. T-Boone Pickens says natural gas.
T-Boone.
And it does... put out a little emissions, but
a little bit more. Okay.
Not as much as gas.
We're having a great interview here with Philip Green, author of Running on Empty. We'll be back. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And stay tuned, because we've got a lot more to talk about on energy and what we can do and how bright is our future. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream.
Because you never know what'll happen next. Happen next. Next. News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is News Talk 790 KNST. I am Mrs. Green, and you're listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. And we have our buddy Scott with us again from Legendary World. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Gina. We're going to talk about taking your green habits on the road.
Okay.
You and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. And one of the neat things about traveling is we kind of all, I shouldn't say neat things, but we go out there, we get in the hotel, we crank up the air conditioning, we let the water run, and you do all those things because you're not at home. And one of the most important things you can do when traveling to help the planet again is, you know, we're still going to fly, we're going to do those types of things, but just to take the habits you've learned at home on the road. So again, turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth. Many of the hotels that we work with now have programs where, again, you know, they kind of say, you know, leave the towels on.
You don't have to change your bed.
Yeah, throw the towels on the floor if you want to clean. And they'll do that for you if you want it, but you don't have to.
Turn the lights off when you leave the room.
Yeah.
All of those things, like treating it like it's your home. And when you multiply that times the millions of people that are staying in hotel rooms, that helps. And you know, another one that I always really take note of is if you're going on a road trip, prepare some healthy food. Because we have this mindset, oh, road trip, Cheetos and chocolate milk, or some disgusting thing that we never eat. My husband eats bean dip and Fritos.
Ew.
So now, if you can stop at a Trader Joe's or someplace that's healthy, or bring the healthy things you eat from home on a road trip, I think taking your green habits with you, it's good for the planet and good for your diet and for the pants you're wearing.
Well, and even recently we did a trip to Greer with a bunch of friends, which included you and Mr. Green.
Oh, it was so
And
much
we had
fun.
A blast. And since we were driving, and I've never done this before, we actually took the big, hard, plastic, recyclable bin that we use in the house that the kids are used to, put that in the car, and we took that with us up to Greer and put it in the kitchen. And it was great that, you know, again, the kids just kept recycling just like we normally do. And, again, kind of kept those green habits going. The hard thing, though, and that's where it took some work, is there was no place to get rid of it there. So we actually had to bag it all up.
You have to take it home.
Bring it home and recycle it.
We started doing that, too, because what is it? It's one bag, and you're usually bringing groceries up, so there's room for it. So I agree. And it's really important. I know when I started Mrs. Green a long time ago, it was there is no more away. So for throwing garbage away, there is no more away. So recycling. I was so proud of you that you did that. So this is Scott from Legendary World. You can visit him at legendaryworld.com. And he really is an eco travel dude at heart. So, Scott, thanks for being
in
the studio
Green.
Today.
News Talk 790 KNST.
You got to love it. You got to love Scott. He's just really making so many changes that it really cracks me up. And we did a lot of really fun things in Greer. And the thing that I didn't say is that, you know, it's a role model. All the little kids are there and they see us recycling. So it has one of those ripple effects. And I think that that's important. We're back here in studio, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, with Philip Green, who wrote the book Running on Empty, a handbook for understanding and surviving the energy crisis. And I don't want the show to be over and then we're talking and I say, oh my goodness, we never said to people where they can get your book. It's for people that are interested in this. It is a great book for the common man or woman.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it can be purchased at Amazon.com.
That's awesome.
It is also on Kindle. If you have one of those,
everybody I know has one. I just got an iPad because I wanted to make Apple more money.
I have a blog site. It's called Running on Empty. It's www.runningonemptybook.com. You can purchase it there, and guess what? It's cheaper on my website.
Amazon, you have to do the other thing.
Amazon says it's $19.99. I say it's $15.
That's good. That's good.
And if you want to just download it as an ebook, it's $7.75.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So if you download it as an ebook, could you put that on your Kindle? Or do you have to put it on another?
I'm not sure about getting it into the Kindle format.
I'm just getting used to all this technology, and I might download my first book today as I'm going to L.A. I downloaded some iTunes, and you would have thought that I discovered the moon. I'm like, I did it. The songs are actually on there.
You can also download books and things on Audible, which is a...
Okay. So there are ways to get it. And the other thing I always want to say, a lot of times you'll find things at Bookman's. So reuse and go do it. You know, check it out because people they reuse their books and they bring it in there. But it's funny what Scott was talking about, you know, the whole when you travel and you're in a hotel room and energy.
I'm always appalled by the you know, they don't have low flush toilets in all these places. And we went up to Las Vegas last year and the little Marriott Suites hotel was watering their green grass, which I don't know why they have grass, but they do. And the water was running all over the sidewalk and the street. And there was one area, planting area, that was full of rocks and nothing else, no plants.
And
I wrote to Marriott about it.
I'm glad you did. And there are some places like Las Vegas, they're really making an effort to do water conservation. That the whole, the Bellagio, mm-hmm. that's all recycled water. Yeah. I mean, it's all done. They don't use it. I mean, the mayor there got on board and said, okay, we're in trouble because they are really out in the desert.
The other thing that really blew my mind was when we drove across the dam there at Las Vegas at Lake Mead, and there's a 100-foot wide bathtub ring around the top of the lake. That's how far down it has sunk.
It's just so sad. I know. There are places where you can see it and people don't seem to think that it's really a crisis. We talk about water. So energy efficiency is your number one thing.
It's king.
Energy efficiency is king. What else? What are some other things that you think people can do that really matter, that people like bite-sized pieces? And I just want to say again, 520-880-5678 if you have questions of Philip. He knows a lot. So go ahead. What else can people do?
First of all, water is basically energy. It can be used to generate electricity, whatever. And it takes a tremendous amount of energy to pump it someplace to get it to your bathtub. Here in Arizona,
it takes a lot to pump it to our bathtub.
I moved here 5 years ago and I asked the realtor if there was any problem with water in Tucson. No, it's fine.
An uninformed realtor.
And then I found out that we pump a third of our water 335 miles across the state in an open channel. And I have to admit, I have a swimming pool that my house was built in back in 73, and it was part of the deal. But we keep a cover on it so that it doesn't evaporate. But I happen to know when the cover's off, it evaporates at a rate of about 1.5 to 2 to 3 inches a day, or make that a week or so. But can you imagine how much evaporation there is 335 miles across the state?
And can you imagine how much evaporation there is with all the swimming pools there are in Tucson?
Oh, yeah.
And we got rid of ours for a number of reasons. It's now filled in and you can't see it anymore. It was cracking and it was cost prohibitive to put it back. But my husband also says that they are so much work to maintain and there's chemicals and on and on and on. So
sure.
We're kind of glad, except when the grandchildren come, maybe we could use yours.
Please do.
Well, it's a good idea because kids like swimming pools. Actually, yeah, my brother has one, so we go over there, and they're wonderful about it.
And going back to the canal across the state.
That's awful.
They have to pump the water from the Colorado River up something like 1,000 feet or so.
Robert Glennon talked about that when he was
on the
show.
Or it'll go across the state.
Yeah, yep. And what about, like, I am a big believer that there will be new solar technology. When you said we don't know what it is yet, there's new solar technology that's nanotechnology that is coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a show
absolutely,
in a couple
of months.
But solar does use a lot of water.
Yes.
I mean, they really do use a lot of water.
Very
and
much.
When you're going to do solar thermal, it's all, and you and I talked about this before the show, there's only one thing that we cannot live without as human beings. And guess what?
It's water.
It's water. Yeah. So we, people, and I turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth. Don't take 20-minute showers. Try to get new retrofitted fixtures that you'll feel the same pressure, but it won't use as much.
I put a great device on my water system. I remodeled our master bathroom, and it's a little pump. It doesn't draw a lot of juice, and you can put it on your top of your water heater and set it so it will come on at certain times of the day, and you can turn on your faucet in your bathroom, and it'll be warm in 10 seconds.
Now, do you get that from a plumber, or do you get it from – where do you get that?
I bought mine at I think it was called Naughton's Plumbing Supply.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to – Frank Naughton, really good friend
I've
of mine.
I've got one, actually. I could sell you.
I love it. We're doing a transaction on the air.
My plumber pulled a little trick on me. He said, oh, you can't use that one. Well, he put one in for us and charges for it. So we have a spare one. It's the exact same thing you put in.
I think we have to get together, and I'm barely kidding. Jose, we have a caller. Tom, thank you for calling in. What is your question? And I'm sure it's not for Mrs. Green.
Well, I might have a follow-up for you, but my question is this. We're talking energy and conservation. Here in the Southwest, we use a tremendous amount of energy for cooling our homes in the summer. If anybody's looked at their cooling bill lately,
kidding.
I think they'll all agree to that. My question is, have you done much investigation into passive cooling and the fact that most of our homes were never designed to really be built in the Southwest without air conditioning, and that's not really necessary?
That is absolutely true. There's also passive cooling, which doesn't require a big array of photovoltaic cells.
And you can, I wouldn't think so.
And you can design your home so that you get natural ventilation. And there's all kinds of things that you can do. Well, obviously, you want to put in as much insulation in your home as possible.
Yeah,
and orient so that it is most beneficial to the passive cooling and heating.
And, Tom, I could not agree with you more.
I wanted to just follow up. I called you before your break, your vacation, and I know you just put in a new high SEER system. And I just wanted to tell people, the problem with that rating, the SEER rating, they take the efficiency at 85 degrees, and it's never 85 degrees in the Southwest in the summertime.
And
the problem is, when you get up to 95, 96, 97, the efficiency rating just goes right down. It just goes right down to the ground level. So even the government can't figure out a way to rate these things, because when you buy stuff for the Southwest out here in Tucson when it's 105 degrees, your electricity bill just goes into the double digits. It's nuts.
And can we add 105 degrees in September at the very end? I know. I agree with you. I mean, it's just it's
Isn't
not.
This on the weather station, they said our normal number of days at this time of year over 100 degrees is about 50. And this was last week. Last week we were 67. I think we're going to hit 80 days over 100 degrees this year.
Well, that is not a good note to break you off at, but we got to go to break. Thank you so much for calling in, Tom. Thanks for listening. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Be right back. We have lots more good stuff to cover. Welcome back, everybody. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST on this very nice, cool fall day. It's already over 100 when I was driving in, and everybody in Tucson is saying, you're so ready for a dip below 100. So, Tom, thank you for calling in. Sorry we had to go so quickly. But it really is a great discussion that it's a perfect segue to there is more green home construction going on. Like Meritage, one of the biggest home builders in the country, just came out with an energy-efficient home that I went to see some of their developments, and they're 75% energy-efficient, more energy-efficient because of the sealed envelope, because of the weather stripping, because of the appliances. So I want to ask you about, we can't get from here to there just doing that because there are so many other millions, hundreds of millions of homes.
Right.
That's one thing. What about things like, do you think recycling contributes to the help of energy reduction?
Absolutely.
Simple recycling?
Absolutely. Well, when you talk about recycling, virtually everything can be recycled, really. I mean, it's...
People are finding a purpose for almost everything. Yeah. I can tell you that right now. It's true.
There are uses for landfills, of course. We put a pipe down into it and siphon off the methane.
Jason owns the Fairfax company. He looks at landfills as treasure troves of what can I get out of here and make it into something good.
But they're even recycling building materials now for the construction of new ones, which is great.
I know.
Take the concrete and grind it up.
They are. And that, and Jason at Fairfax, that's one of the things they do. And he's selling it. And also I've spent a lot of time at, as I call it, the dump. And he said some of the things that were put in there that we were giving no thought to are things like copper. You just take it and then throw the copper into the garbage and then it would be in the landfill. So there's a lot of stuff in there that we could pull out, steel, aluminum.
To give you some idea about copper, there are places, I live back in central Illinois, and people are stealing the copper wires right off the poles.
It's another precious. Yeah, it is. Okay, so you've got that going on. Okay, so recycling is important.
Absolutely.
To me, I like the first R better, reduce, because if you don't put that plastic water bottle in your hand, that's the 95% energy savings.
Yeah.
Because but the 5% is still good if we all do it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be recycled and reused. Okay. Now, what about?
And the good news is everyone can recycle and conserve.
And everyone can. I totally agree. Even if you have to take it to work or take it someplace else. Now, what about, I want you to talk to me about your thoughts on climate change, because you told me something great when we were on break about how we can make a difference. I love people to have hope and not be so maudlin and depressed and, oh, it's so bad, there's nothing I can do.
Well, the deniers, which I think are primarily... funded by the oil and
gas company, and there's lots of movies out to prove that.
But if you're not believing that humans can affect the climate, I have news for you. Back in 1987, all of the developed countries signed a document called the Montreal Protocol, in which we agreed to phase out CFLs and HCFLs, which is the gases that we're putting into our air conditioners and refrigerators.
And the ones in our car, too?
Yes.
They changed
Sure.
Okay. All right.
And it's going to take a long time, but they are predicting now that it will be the ozone layer, which protects us from ultraviolet rays, which causing cancer, is actually on the road to being healed. And they say by the middle of the century that it'll be totally healed. So, now, that took the energies and the cooperation of the entire world.
And there was a will and there was a way.
That's right.
I want to make kind of a segue in terms of health, because it's a whole package, but organic milk. I mean, there were really bad things in milk, and it was people. It was mostly moms reading about this and spreading the word that said, we want organic milk. We don't want hormone-injected cows, and we don't want that to turn into the milk we drink. So people can make a difference. There is always something you can do.
And the bottom line is there is no other planet that we know of that – will sustain human beings. Our system is so fragile, and we humans are really very fragile. We can only live comfortably within a few degrees variance.
You know, there's another Green in my life, Michael Green, and he is an unbelievable artist, and he does illustrations for books. He's very famous, and he was out here to a conference about 2.5 years ago, and his whole belief is that we will have to get back to smaller communities where there are communities of about 120 people. And it wouldn't have to be segregated communities, but where within a certain radius of your home, you can walk to the grocery store. You don't have to use your car. You can walk, you know, your kids can walk to school. You can go to the dry cleaner. You can go, that there's more of a sustainability, probably community solar. And what's your thought about that to solve the energy crisis or surviving?
It definitely saves energy. If you grow your own vegetables in your backyard, or some local farmer grows it, a mile away, then you're obviously going to save him transportation money, and it's going to save you money when you buy your vegetables and things that are maybe a little cheaper, but at least more healthy probably.
And there's something magic about the farmers markets. My husband and I are religious now about going on a Sunday, no pun intended.
Yeah, we love it.
But we love it. And it's this summer, it was packed, as hot as it was. We never went there and it looked like the deserted Tucson summer. We go to the one on Sunday at St. Philip's. I've heard the one in Oro Valley on Saturday is just as packed.
Now, if you live in a big city, it's not hopeless, because I heard an already a story on NPR not too long ago where they were taking vacant lots and turning them into gardens.
I know. I love that. There was an author who came here for the book festival last year, and they were doing it in Oakland. They had taken a vacant lot and made it a neighborhood-like farm. They had goats. They had chickens.
They're also making roof gardens.
They had pigs, roof gardens. So there is that. National Geographic did a very, very extensive article on that. But a roof garden, again, in Tucson, what do you think? Not so good. It's not for this place. It really isn't. But there are places that are doing it. Lots of places in Germany. New York City, it's growing. Mm-hmm. And you know another thing that's it's cracking me up? The growth of chickens. Chicken coops. Yeah. People are raising chickens. One other good thing that's kind of like the circle of life. So what's your last big point you want to make before I thank? I just have to thank the, I'm sure you're a subscriber. I don't know if you've been featured in there because I don't remember, but to the New Southwest, which was the Arizona Green Times, the Tucson Green Times. They're just unbelievable, and I always want to thank them on the show and tell people to pick a copy up.
Well, my final word is that we're not in such desperate straits unless we do nothing.
That's a great message of
business
hope.
As usual is not an option.
Right, right.
Period.
Right. And supporting local businesses. You don't have to do huge, massive changes. Everybody's not going to get solar, but you can get an Energy Star refrigerator when you're going to replace it. I love Tom's comment on the whole SEER thing, because we are an aberration because our temperatures are so hot. Yeah. But I will tell you that air conditioner is working a lot better than my 15-year-old one. I can tell you that. The same temperature, it's cooler, so I can't wait to get my electricity
bill. We replaced both our air conditioner and
keep knocking on wood that we don't have to replace the other one. Maybe till next summer. I think we have one more summer on it.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how much a refrigerator uses. Solar water heater, how much you can save on that. We talk ad nauseum on this show. I'm obsessed with the high-efficiency toilets because they use 1.28 gallons. They're not expensive.
I got to tell you what my wife does. We have the high-efficient shower head. She takes a bucket into the shower with her and captures all the runoff.
Proud of her. I don't do that. And I've had people write in from Mrs. Green's community saying, can you do that? And I'm like, okay, not yet, but I'm at least telling the truth. But those are unbelievable things that we can do. So how are we doing on time? I got to see. We've got a little bit left. 3 minutes left? Okay,
wow.
Good.
So we lifetime.
I thought we were going in. I mean, time was fine. We have an interest. I want to ask you about your perspective on what's happening on a global level, because a lot of times people will call in or they'll write to me and they'll say, that's all well and good, but look what they're doing in India and look at what they're doing in China. What's your read
on China
that?
Is really on the bandwagon in terms of alternatives, except that there's so many, many people. We Americans emit probably 10 times per capita as much emissions and CO2, et cetera, as the Chinese do, but they are so much more populated that they passed us in terms of the emissions that they're emitting. But on a per capita basis, it's nothing.
Minuscule. If they were consuming the way we were, we would all be in trouble, folks.
Yep.
But they're much more, they don't have the opportunities that we do. They're not leaving the water running. A lot of them don't even have clean water. Yeah.
They are developing a middle class, though, which is going to change things.
It will change things. What do you think about, this is so not relevant, and you can say, Gina, I have no earthly clue, but there's been a lot written about lately about importing organic vegetables from China. And, of course,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
Thank you. It's like, okay, we're doing that, and one of the big national
The transportation is
alone. And I just still feel, I mean, even if China's evolving, a lot of the specials that I've read and the research I've done, they're still using pesticides and insecticides,
sure.
And they're not. And so they have a third-party inspector, and I'm like, unless I'm the inspector, I'm not buying. Now, you can get them in places like Whole Foods, and it says organic, like a California blend. And now because of mandates from food safety, on the back it says made in China, and they have to disclose it. So turn that package over. There are about 30 different packages of frozen vegetables in. I don't want to pick on Whole Foods because I don't. They're doing great things also. But you have to be careful because it's not really always just what it looks like.
Absolutely.
I know. So thank you for being on. Again, people can go to Amazon.com to get your book. It's Running on Empty, a handbook for understanding and surviving the energy crisis. And I told you time would fly, and it did. I can't believe we're at the top of the hour.
Well, it was a great pleasure to be here with you.
It was great to have you. And everybody have a safe weekend. Stay cool, hydrate, and I will be back next week. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, 1,000 fans on Facebook. Join if you haven't. Thanks.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST.